Okay, welcome to Shiur Ramban Parshas Kisavo. In the beginning of Perek Chof Zayin, in this week's Parsha, the Torah says that Moshe called Klal Yisrael together. He said to them, Perek Chof Zayin Pasuk Beis, V'hoya b'yom asher tavu es hayarden. On that day when you pass over the Jordan River, El Ha'aretz, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lach, into the land that Hashem your God is giving to you. On that day when you pass over the Jordan River, you should set up large stones. V'sadata osam basid. You should put limestone, some kind of cement, over the exterior of the stones. V'chosavto aleyen. And then you should write on the limestone, on the stones, es kol divrei hatorah hazos be'ovrecha. As you pass over the Jordan into Eretz Yisrael and you've put up these stones, write Kol Divrei HaTorah Hazos. Write all of the words of this Torah when you pass over. Lema'an, in order that, Asher Tovo El Ha'aretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha, in order that you come into the land that Hashem your God is giving to you, Eretz Zovas Cholov Udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Hashem has promised you. There are two points in this pasuk which the Ramban is going to speak about, and each of them is interesting in its own right. Number one, what exactly was on these stones? It says you should write on the stones, it's called Divrei HaTorah Hazos, all of the words of this Torah. So what exactly is meant by that? We'll see that's one aspect of discussion. The second aspect of discussion is translating the seemingly difficult phrase at the end of the pasuk. You should write these words, all the words of the Torah, on these stones. Lema'an asher tovo el ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lecha. Lema'an is usually translated as in order that. So write these words on the stones, in order that you will be able to come into the land that Hashem has given to you. Which on the surface is a little bit difficult to translate literally, because after all, the Jews have already crossed over the Jordan River into Eretz Yisrael when they're setting up these stones and inscribing them. So write on the stones, in order that you should come into Eretz Yisrael, you're already in Eretz Yisrael when you're writing on the stones. So what exactly is meant by this turn of phrase, write on the stones in order that you should go into Eretz Yisrael? L'man asher tavo el ha'aretz. So the Ramban talks about both of these issues in Pasuk Gimel. And with regard to defining what exactly was on the stones, he starts off as follows. Amar Rebbe Avraham b'shem Hagon. The Ibn Ezra quotes one of the Gaonim as explaining the content of the stones in the following way. Shekosvu aleihem minyan hamitzvos. What was written on the stones was a list of the 613 mitzvos. Kimo aksuvos b'halachos gedolos. Just as we find, for instance, that in the Sefer Halachos Gedolos, one of the early halachos svarim, it was written by one of the Gaonim, maybe one of the early Rishonim. The Sefer Halachos Gedolos enumerates the 613 mitzvos. Ke'en azharos, kind of like the azharos. The azharos, which Ashkenazim don't say, were popular Sfardi piyutim, popular Sfardi poems, which were traditionally recited on Shavuos. And the azharos consisted of a poetic listing of the 613 mitzvos. Right, so to this day, in Sfardi communities, azharot, you know, reading these poems is part of the davening on Shavuos. So the Ibn Ezra makes reference. Apparently they were saying the azharos back in his day, many, many centuries ago. And he says that's what was written on these stones, you know. Why can't you say that the entire Torah, called Divrei HaTorah Hazos, why can't you say that the entire Torah was written on these stones? Well, that's a lot of writing. You know, I mean, they wrote the entirety of the Sefer Torah on 12 stones. Even if they're big stones, still a lot to write. So that's the Ibn Ezra quotes from the Gaon. What does it mean that they wrote the entire Torah? It means they wrote a list of the 630 mitzvahs. 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, so that's already, that's easier to understand that they would have listed off the 613 mitzvahs. And that's called Divrei HaTorah Hazos. V'tam ba'er heitev. In Pasuk Ches, it says, V'chosavto al ho'avonim. It's called Divrei HaTorah Hazos ba'er heitev. That you'll write all of the words of the Torah on these stones, explained well. What is that? What do those words mean? A ba'er heitev, explained well. So the Ibn Ezra writes, haksiva. The very act of writing is called ba'er heitev. Meaning, ba'er heitev just means that the writing is done in a legible fashion that enables the reader to read and understand what's written there. No, so Bayer Hetev doesn't mean anything beyond the fact that it's simply written. That's the Ibn Ezra writes. However, as the Ramban notes, and this is in Rashi on Pasuk Ches, on the words Bayer Hetev, Rabbu Seinu Amru, Chazal, in the Gemar Masechta Soto, Daf Lamed Beis, explain the words Bayer Hetev differently. They say, B'shivim Loshon, that the words Bayer Hetev, that the Torah was explained well on these stones, means that the Torah was written in 70 languages on these 12 stones. Now that amplifies the issue that we spoke about briefly before. It's hard enough imagining the Torah as it is, being written on 12 stones in its entirety. But multiply that now by 70. You have to now write the entire Torah 70 or 71 times over, you know, on these 12 stones. How is that possible? And yet, that's what Chazal seemed to be saying, was going on with these stones over here. The Ramban, we'll come back to that point in just a moment. Meanwhile, the Ramban writes, U'motzinu b'sefer tagi. We find in the book of Tagim, you know, Tagim refer to the crowns which appear on the taps of certain letters in the Sefer Torah. And we have a tradition that you can use those tagin, you can use those crowns on the taps of letters for interpretation purposes. In other words, they're not just artistic, you know, there are lessons to be learned out from the tagin, from the crowns on the top of the letters. So there's a medrash called Sefer Tagi. The Ramban quotes this medrash, and he says in the Sefer Tagi, it says, Shahaisa kol atorak suva behen, mibreishis ad la'ene kol Yisrael. The entire Torah from Breishis to Kol Yisrael was written on these 12 stones. Bitageha v'ziyuneha, with all of the little crowns and other adornments that accompany the letters. Umisham netku hatagin b'chol haTorah. And when subsequently Jews would write Sifrei Torah, they would check the Sifrei Torah against these stones to make sure that all of the tagin, all of the crowns, were properly placed on the right letters as per this set of 12 stones. So according to the Sefer Tagi quoted by the Ramban, this set of 12 stones had a very interesting purpose. It was, so to speak, it was the master Sefer Torah. It was the Sefer Torah that was as, it wasn't a Sefer, it was stones, but it was the, it was written in stone, literally. It was the Sefer Torah which was as exact and as precise as one could possibly make it. And all of the other Sefer Torah were copied from that. So it had a very, very special status. It wasn't, as you might think, primarily for the non-Jewish nations. I mean, that would be the point of writing it in Shivim Lashon in 70 languages. But it seems like it was primarily for the Jews themselves as a master text to be able to compare the Sefer Torah against. Now, implicit in the words of Chazal that they wrote the Torah in 70 languages, and certainly explicit in the Sefer Tagi, is that the entire Torah was written on these 12 stones, not like the Ibn Ezra quoted from the Gaon, that they merely wrote, you know, a list of the 613 mitzvahs. So then that raises the question, again, how is that physically possible? How could you fit the entire Torah on 12 stones, no matter how big they are? The Torah is huge. So he writes, Bitachen shehayu avarim gedolos me'od. Maybe one answer to that question, says the Ramban, was that they were really, really big stones. You know, they were boulders, you know, maybe the side of a cliff, you know, and I guess if the stone's big enough, you have 12 of them, you can put the entire Torah there. Oh, shehayu mimaisa hanisim. Or perhaps we would say that this itself was a miracle. You know, it's a miracle which is sort of swept under the carpet in the Torah's description of what's going on over here. But the very fact that they would be able to put the entire Torah on 12 stones, you know, is itself a miraculous occurrence, but that's part of what was going on over here. So again, you have two different ways of understanding what was written on the stones. As kol divrei ha-Torah hazos, all of these words of the Torah, does it literally mean all of the words of the Torah? Or again, as the Ibn Ezra quotes from the Gaon, perhaps it merely meant, you know, a listing of the 613 mitzvos. We then come to the second phrase in this pasuk. You should write the Torah on these stones, lema'an asher tovo el ha'aretz, in order that you should come into the land. As we pointed out before, the phrase is a difficult one to understand. You're already in the land. You came into Eretz Yisrael. That's how you're able to set up these stones and to write upon them. What does it mean? Write upon these stones in order that you should come into the land. So here too, the Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra. Amar Rebbe Avram, ki Hashem ya'azorcha im hachiloso lishmor mitzvosov. If you have begun to observe the mitzvos of Hashem, namely by writing down the Torah on these stones, it means that Hashem will, in that merit, continue to help you as you push on into Eretz Yisrael. Kizosi hamitzvah harishona l'biyosam la'aretz. This indeed is the first mitzvah the Klal Yisrael are going to perform when they come into the land. Which means as follows. The Ibn Ezra is essentially adding an extra word into the pasuk. Write the Torah on these stones in order that you continue to come into Eretz Yisrael. You've already started coming into Eretz Yisrael, but if you wish to continue going into Eretz Yisrael, you wish to continue fighting against the seven nations who occupy Eretz Yisrael, if you want to be victorious in that battle against these seven nations, so start off with this mitzvah, and this mitzvah will start you off on the right foot. That's the Ibn Ezra's interpretation. Ulefi daiti, the Ramban says, I want to share a second explanation. Lema'an asher tovo, ramaz l'chol divrei ha-Torah. Says the Ramban, the way to read this pasuk is to switch the order of the words a little bit. Lema'an, in order that, refers not to going into Eretz Yisrael, but in order that, the words lema'an, in order that, refers to the words of the Torah themselves. Yomar, shetichtov al ha'avonim kol divrei ha'Torah hazos bi'avrecha ba'yardein miyad. And the Torah means to say as follows, the minute that you cross over the Jordan River, and you're on the other side, so right away you should write down these words of the Torah, lema'an asher boso el ha'aretz, ki ba'avur ha'Torah boso shoma. The reason that you're writing down these words of the Torah is to say, for the sake of the Torah, I came into Eretz Yisrael. So the way to read the pasuk according to the Ramban is as follows. V'chosavto aleihem be'ovrecho lema'an kol divrei ha'Torah hazos. When you cross over the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael, write these words, lema'an, in order to show that you are that which enabled you to come into Eretz Yisrael, lema'an, for the sake of kol ha'Torah hazos, that's how you were coming to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Sadia Gaon famously said that Klal Yisrael is only called a nation for the sake of its allegiance to Torah. It's only because of Torah that we're called a nation, not because of our great herring, our knishes, or anything else that we have on a cultural level. It's Torah that makes us a nation. It's Torah that gives us our right to Eretz Yisrael. And that's the message of writing down these words of the Torah as you come into Eretz Yisrael. Remember that you're only in Eretz Yisrael b'schus ha-Torah, in the merit of the Torah itself, leman, for the sake of, it's only for the sake of Torah that you're in Eretz Yisrael. Otamo, or a third interpretation, tichtov aleim es kol divrei ha-Torah esos li'os l'chol le'zikara. The purpose of writing down these words of the Torah is to constantly remind you once you come into Eretz Yisrael, leman asher tavo el ha-Oretz, in order that you come into the land, conquer it, and take over all of these nations. But you can only do so if you're going to constantly remember the Torah. So in other words, there are three purposes, essentially, says the Ramban, for why the Torah is being written down on these stones when you come into Eretz Yisrael. And each of them depends on how you interpret the Pasuk. One way to interpret the reason that you're writing down these words of Torah is that it should serve as a source of merit to enable you to conquer the rest of the land. The second way to interpret why you're writing down these words of Torah is to teach us the lesson, to remind us that only in the merit of Torah do we deserve to be in Eretz Yisrael in the first place. And the third interpretation is as a reminder that as we come into Eretz Yisrael and we conquer it, we should be reminded of the fact that we need to keep the Torah, even as we become more settled and more comfortable in Eretz Yisrael. We should never forget the fact that we need to have this allegiance to Torah, and that we'll be reminded of that as we constantly have the words of Torah written as we come into Eretz Yisrael at this point where we crossed over the Jordan River. The Psukim go on to describe the ceremony that takes place at Har Grizim and Har Eval, how there are curses and blessings that are uttered at Har Grizim and Har Eval, and the people answer Amen to the brachos and to the klalos, to the blessings and to the curses. After going through a series of different brachos and klalos, the Torah only talks about the klalos, but we understand that it's talking about blessings and curses as well, the last of the curses, the last of the blessings, is Pasuk Chavav, Arur Asher Lo Yakim Es Divrei HaTorah Hazos La'asos Osam. Cursed is the person who does not uphold these words of Torah to perform them. The question the Ramban is going to ask is, what exactly is meant by this? You know, all of the earlier brachos and klalos are very specific. Cursed is the person who, curses his father and mother. Cursed is the person who perverts the judgment of a person who's vulnerable. Cursed is the person who commits adultery. Cursed is the person who worships Avodah Zarah. Okay, those are all specific isurim, specific prohibitions. But what's meant by Asher lo yakim es divrei ha-Torah hazos? Cursed is the person who doesn't uphold the Torah. What's meant by that? So the Ramban starts off quoting Rashi, that kan kol alas kol ha-Torah kula. Indeed, this last curse is all-inclusive. It's the person accepting the entire Torah. V'kiblua aleim ba'ola uvishvua. And what was happening at this point in time is that the Jewish people accepted Torah as being binding upon themselves by swearing to uphold the Torah. Ulefi daiti. What's meant, says the Ramban, by this acceptance of all of Torah? What exactly does that entail? Again, the Ramban here is explaining Rashi. Ki ha-Kabbalah hazos shiyode b'mitzvos b'libo. Accepting Torah in this context means that you acknowledge the mitzvos in your heart. V'yu be'enov emes. You should see the mitzvos as being true. V'ya'amin she'ha'osa osam yi'ilo schar v'tovo v'over alen ye'onesh. You have to believe that a person who accepts Torah and follows Torah will be rewarded, and that the person who goes against Torah will be punished. V'im yichpar ba'achas mehen. If a person denies even one of the mitzvos, he says, you know, this is all a great Torah, but I'm just not dealing well with that shatnez thing. O shetia be'enov b'teilo la'olam. Or the person says, there was a mitzvah called Shatnez, but it's been revoked. Hinehu orur. The person is cursed. Avalim avar al achas mehen. However, if you happen to violate a specific mitzvah, kugon she'achal achazir v'ashekes l'tavasa, he eats chazer, or shelo asa sukkah v'lulav l'otzla, or he's too lazy to sit in a sukkah on sukkahs, eino b'cheirem azeh. He's not included in this curse of aru ashelo yakim. Kilo amar akosav ashelo yas as divrei Torah azos, elo amar ashelo yakim as divrei Torah azos la'asos, ketam kimu v'kiblu ayehudim. The emphasis over here, says the Ramban, is not on the actual performance of mitzvahs, it's on the conceptual acceptance of the system. Yakim is divrei Torah azos. That it means, you know, we all understand, no one's perfect, everyone is going to violate mitzvahs sooner or later, everyone sooner or later is going to commit aveiros, but are you committed to the system? Do you believe in the system? Do you believe that God is going to reward us when we do mitzvahs and punish us when we do aveiros? Do you believe that all the Torah is binding? If you deny any part of that, it's not just that you're violating a specific mitzvah, you're rejecting the system. So that, says the Ramban, is what Rashi means, that Klal Yisrael were mekabel the entire Torah, and that's aru asher liyakim es divrei haTorah hazos. You have to accept the system as being binding. If you don't accept the system, so then that's the problem. V'neu cherem hamordim v'akofrim. Implicit in this idea is that those who rebel against Judaism, who deny Judaism, are included in this curse. Arur asher lo yakim es divrei haTorah hazos. Anyone who rejects part of the system as being binding is subject to this curse. So that's the first interpretation that the Ramban gives over here. The Ramban then goes on to quote a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi besota ro'isi. Talmud Yerushalmi Masech de Sota has the following passage. Asher lo yakim, when the Torah says, cursed is the person who doesn't uphold the Torah, v'chiyesh Torah nofeles, is there such a thing as a Torah that's falling? What do you mean? Cursed is the person who doesn't uphold the Torah. You mean the Torah is falling and the person doesn't catch it? What does that mean? Reb Shim ben Yakim Omer, ze hachazam. Reb Shim ben Yakim says this refers to the chazam. Okay, we'll have to see what that means. Reb Shim ben Chalafta Omer, ze bezdin shomaton. Reb Shim ben Chalafta says this refers to the bezdin that judges down here on earth. What do those two things mean? So let me just briefly summarize, and then we'll wrap up this Ramban. Ramban first starts addressing the second opinion, that of Reb Shim ben Chalafta. Arur asher lo yakim es divrei haTorah hazos means the bezdin. Says the Ramban, according to Reb Shim ben Chalafta, this curse, arur asher lo yakim, is directed at the leadership of the Jewish people, not the individual. The individual has one responsibility. He has to keep mitzvot, he has to stay away from averos. That's his responsibility. The leadership of Klal Yisrael, the Bezdin, the Melech, the Sanhedrin, their obligation is a community obligation. They're obligated not only to make sure that they as individuals keep Torah, but they have an obligation to make sure that the community keeps Torah. And as such, even if the Melech, the Sanhedrin, the Bezdin, are tzaddikim gemurim, and they don't do anything wrong, but if the people on their watch are not doing the right thing, they, says Reb Shimon Chalafta, will be subject to this curse. Rachmano litzlan, arur asher lo yakim es divrei haTorah hazos. You have the obligation to uphold Torah in society. That's the obligation incumbent upon the Melech, the Sanhedrin, the Bezdin. Right, it's a community, a leadership obligation which they have. And in that sense, the Yerushalmi in Sota goes on to say, Al Hadavar Hazeh Kora Yoshiyahu. When Yoshiyahu found the Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was open to the parsha of the Tochacha, and he realized that Klal Yisrael were not behaving, and that the Torah being open to the Tochacha was a message from Hashem, shape up or ship out. So Yoshiyahu ripped his garments, v'amar olai lahakim. And Yoshiyahu said, it's incumbent upon me to uphold the Torah, meaning I'm the king, I'm in charge. I have to make sure that the people are doing the right thing. Otherwise, I'm going to be guilty of asher lo yakim es divrei haTorah hazos. I'm going to be guilty, rachmano litzlan, of violating this dictate. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation of the Medrash is Zeh HaChazim. Right? Or HaShel Oyakim means the Chazim. What's the Chazim? So he writes, the Ramban, Li Nira Al HaChazon She'enu Mekim Sefer Torah Al HaTzibur Laharos Pnek Sivoso Lako. The Chazon over here in this context, says the Ramban, means the guy who's honored with Hagba. If there's a shul where they have Kriya Satorah, but they don't do Hagba, literally, Asher Lo Yokim, the one who doesn't pick up, as Divrei HaTorah Hazos, the person who doesn't pick up, the shul that doesn't pick up the Torah, so then that shul, Rachmana Litzlan, is going to be cursed. HaChazon She'enu Mekim Sefer Torah Al HaTzibur Laharos Pnek Sivoso Lako. There's an obligation whenever the Torah is laying to lift up the Torah and do Hagba. As it says in Masechah Sofrim, Shmagbin Oso, there's a mitzvah to lift up the Sefer Torah. Mara Pnek Sivoso La'am Ha'omdim Leminov Lismoro, Machziro Lafanov La'achrov. He's supposed to turn around and show the Sefer Torah to everybody. Shemitzvah L'chol Anoshim Anoshim L'ros HaKosav L'chroa, V'lomer V'zos HaTorah Shesomosha V'cheinoagim. The mitzvah for everyone when they see the Sefer Torah being lifted up to bow, to say, V'zos HaTorah Shesomosha L'fnei B'nei Yisrael. And the Pasuk is hinting at the idea that if the Tzibur, the Chazan, fails to do that, that's a terrible, terrible thing. Why is it so terrible? Okay, so the Tzibur doesn't do Hagba. You know, so nobody had their Wheaties that morning and they can't pick up the Sefer Torah. I mean, why is that so, so incredibly terrible? So I think in brief, the answer is because our connection as Klal Yisrael to Torah is not just about reading the Sefer Torah. It's about connecting and loving the Sefer Torah. Not everybody can read out of the Sefer Torah, but everybody can see the words in the Sefer Torah. Everyone can connect to the words in the Sefer Torah. Everyone can appreciate the Sefer Torah. Not everyone can lane, but everyone can watch Hagba, see the words, and connect to it. The shul that doesn't do Hagba is denying the people that emotional connection to Torah. And the Chumash is saying, according to the Yerushalmi, according to the Ramban, that if a tzibur doesn't have that emotional, visceral connection to Torah, it's a terrible, terrible thing. It's terrible enough that it can be described as Oro Shalo Yakim as Divrei HaTorah Hazos, because that visceral, emotional connection is something essential for us to appreciate Torah properly. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah.